Shasta Dam, which makes all that houseboating possible on Shasta Lake, is proposed for enlargement. The idea of raising the top of the dam 18 feet 6 inches has been around for a long time now. The idea being that a taller dam can make a bigger lake and hold more water. That's attractive at a time in history when California is hotter and more drought-prone, but it's not attractive to everyone. A number of groups and individuals question the wisdom of spending $1 billion plus on raising the dam on a lake that does not at this point fill every year. We recently got the pro side on raising Shasta Dam from Westlands Water District. Today we get the con side from Ron Stork, who's a senior policy advocate for the group Friends of the River. Ron, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning.
Give us a brief sketch, if you would, of Friends of the River and what the group is about generally.
Oh, we work on statewide river issues, and in particular, we've been involved with wild and scenic river campaigns, management plans, wild and scenic river defense, that kind of stuff.
All right, so not just one river, but a bunch of different rivers.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is not like opposing the building of a new dam. Shasta Dam is there. What's the crux of your argument against making it higher?
It's been protected in the state's wild and scenic river system for 29 years. It's against the law to raise it, and it's important to maintain the integrity of these protective measures that the citizens of California have established.
So this is a state protection, you're saying, not a federal protection? It's the state wild and scenic rivers law?
It's in the state wild and scenic rivers. It's protected in the state wild and scenic rivers act, and it's protected in, therefore, in state law. And there are numerous code sections applicable to the Shasta Dam raise in federal law, requiring the federal government to comply with state law. So it's illegal to raise the dam in both federal and state law at this time.
And does that argument seem to get much of a reception when you pitch this to members of Congress or the Bureau of Reclamation or anybody else involved in it?
Reclamation has the authority to waste federal money studying how to construct this project and is doing so as we speak. It is illegal, however, for the federal government to raise this dam. And moreover, it's illegal for the Westlands Water District to participate and cooperate with the federal government in doing so.
But Westlands is a federally created agency, isn't it?
No, it's a political subdivision of the state of California. And in fact, and by definition, an agency of the state of California. And it has a specific duty to comply with state law under the water code and the government code.
So you're saying it's illegal for Westlands to take a position on this?
It's not illegal for Westlands to offer its opinion. It's illegal for Westlands to cooperate with the federal government in raising the dam.
All right. Now, I want to come back to what you said about the Bureau of Reclamation, that the Bureau of Reclamation has the authority to waste federal money. Can you expand on that a bit?
Sure. The California Code simply prohibits raising the dam, essentially putting a reservoir that would impound into the protected reach of river. But there's nothing in state law that requires the federal government to not go to advanced design to figure out exactly how it would construct the project.
So that's essentially where we are right now. Wasn't there $20 million that went to BOR this spring that allowed further design work?
Mm-hmm.
Given that you're very firm on this position of that this is illegal to raise the dam, though, but there's still people moving ahead, and I mean, how alarming is that to you to have them put out the $20 million for further design and engineering studies?
Well, I think even more disturbing is the administration's communications with Congress, where it says it intends to go to construction in 2019 and doesn't note that it's illegal under state and federal law to do so. It's a question of how arrogant the current administration intends to be in complying with the law. And that, to me, is perhaps the most disturbing thing.
Was there a great change in the motion on this? I mean, because the idea of raising Shasta Dam has been talked about for quite a few years. I mean,
sure.
predating the current administration, right?
Sure.
And how, then, aggressively did previous administrations approach the idea of the dam raising?
Well, they had actually completed a final EIS under the Obama administration, but there was no recommended alternative. And they basically said, we're not going to recommend an alternative, i.e. a project, until we work out a whole bunch of details, including they have no cost-sharing partner, in part because it's against the law for them to have a cost-sharing partner in the state, that they're thinking of trying to finance this very expensive project that yields very little water to folks who are not part of the Central Valley Project, i.e. they're not customers of the federal government. And so these kind of important details about who benefits, who pays, these legal impediments had all not been worked out by the federal government when they concluded their final EIS. And basically that's where the project stood until the election happened.
So with the final EIS, there was no plan to move forward. It was just, we're just going to, here's what we got. This is, the final EIS said we're not going to build a dam, or did it?
It didn't say we're not going to build the dam. It said we're not going to build it until we work through these issues. And the issues were fairly insoluble.
We're talking to Ron Stork, a senior policy advocate at Friends of the River, about the idea of raising Shasta Dam by 18 and a half feet, which is in motion once again, as you heard, under the Trump administration. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Phones are working today, 800-838-3760. You can also email us to talk about your thoughts about the raising of Shasta Dam, whether it's a good idea, whether there's a place for the water to go, whether there's a place for the water to come from. 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. So you talked about this as being a project that yields very little water. Expand on that, if you would, and give us a sense of who is in greatest desire. Where is this water in the minds of the people who like the idea of raising Shasta Dam going to go?
The preferred alternative, the alternative that the federal government would build in the absence of a locally preferred alternative, assuming they could work through the issues, was expected to yield a net increase in Central Valley Project deliveries, assuming it all went to the Central Valley Project, of 51,000 acre-feet per year. The Central Valley Project delivers 7 million acre-feet per year. There's a rather stark difference between those two numbers. So, in effect, the project would be $1.3 billion to deliver less than 1% of CVP yield. The existing debt on the Central Valley Project is $1.3 billion. So you can see it's a dramatically no bang for the buck kind of project. But, there's a certain amount of political momentum that transcends the actual facts on the ground. And so that's the circumstances that we find ourselves in.
Some of the numbers you're talking about here, though, Ron Stork, you said 51,000 acre-feet per
mm-hmm.
year. But the numbers I have seen from other sources indicate that by raising the dam, assuming a full pool at some point, you get another 634,000 acre-feet. Does that match up with anything you've seen?
Sure. There's a huge difference between the amount of new storage and the amount of water that you actually get out of it. You can build as much storage as you want, but nature only provides so much water. And at least according to Reclamation, the project that they would build, if they could have worked through these issues, would make new deliveries of 51,300 acre-feet per year, actually. Their bean counters had actually gone to three significant figures of accuracy.
So you're saying that you can fit 634,000 acre feet if it's full, but that does indicate the fullness is not possible in the current system. I'm trying to figure out what you're saying here.
There's a difference between new storage and the value that you get out of the new storage. It doesn't matter really how much storage you build. You only can squeeze so much water out of a watershed. And at least according to reclamation's bean counters, the average yield, not the this year yield versus that year yield, but the long-term average of new deliveries to the Central Valley Project, which delivers about 7 million acre feet per year, by raising Shasta Dam 18.5 feet, you could deliver 51,300 acre feet per year of new deliveries.
All right, 51,300 per year of new deliveries. This is based on what comes into the watershed. And this is, I should point out too, this is not a snow-based watershed. It's generally a rain-based watershed, isn't it?
Yeah. That watershed soaks, the rain soaks into the ground, and there's a heck of a lot of groundwater contributions as it goes into that porous volcanic ground.
A couple of weeks ago when we talked to, it was actually June 27th, we talked to Tom Birmingham, the general manager of the Westlands Water District. One of the things that he was talking about, because the first obvious question is, if no more rain falls, then why have a higher dam? But he was talking about the need to preserve some space for flood control in Shasta Dam right now. Is that an argument that for lack of a better term, holds any water with Friends of the River?
Oh, I spend my life working on Central Valley flood control issues. The existing amount of space that is reserved for rain flood is 1,250,000 acre feet of space in Shasta Dam. It has more flood control space dedicated to it over any other reservoir in the state. Also, reclamation is not proposing to increase the flood control space in the project alternatives that they looked at. So, Tom can say that, but that's not where reclamation was going.
But if you're not, would it mean that with a higher dam, they would not have to release as much water to reserve space for potential high water events later?
The dedicated part of the reservoir, that is the amount that they guarantee will be available in case of a rain flood, would not change. There would be incidental benefits to flood control just by having probably extra space around. That said, the Fish and Wildlife Service noted that the reduction in those kinds of incidental high flows coming out of Shasta Reservoir would have an adverse impact on salmon habitat downstream.
All right, so let's get into the fish part in just a moment. Let me remind our listeners, we're talking to Ron Stork, a senior policy advocate at Friends of the River. We're talking about the idea of raising Shasta Dam and therefore Shasta Lake along with it, potentially by 18.5 feet. There is more money that went to the Bureau of Reclamation this spring for some design and engineering work on the proposed extension. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Give us your thoughts on the idea of raising Shasta Dam and the lake and all the other changes that could produce. 800-838-3760. Phones are working today. 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about the fish impacts now, because you just raised that a moment ago about effects on salmon. So there would be negative effects, you think, from a higher Shasta Dam?
Well, I'm not the expert. We did a Freedom of Information Act request of the Fish and Wildlife Coordination Act report prepared by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. And essentially, it was their judgment that there was no net benefits to fisheries, downstream fisheries, as a result of the project.
No net benefits, but does that necessarily mean there are detriments as well?
The detriments would be reduced high flows that are important for salmon spawning. The detriments also would be reduced viability of some of the riparian downstream, as well as nursery production in the bypasses of the Sacramento River. The advantage would be potential increases in the cold water pool at Shasta Reservoir. In the Fish and Wildlife Service's view, the benefits versus the detriments were about the same, or perhaps negative.
Okay, so generally we're focusing below the dam at this point. How about above the dam? If we're talking about a lake that's higher by 18-plus feet, I mean, what does this do to the tributaries, which I'm sure you have an interest in at Friends of the River, but also to human-built structures, roads, railroad trestles, things like that?
Well, they're going to have to relocate some infrastructure. The reason why they picked an 18.5-foot raise rather than a taller raise is to avoid having to make some really major expenses on road and railroad relocations. The impacts to the tributaries upstream is obviously the conversion of greater amounts of stream and river habitat to reservoir habitat. And, of course, the fisheries and biology of reservoirs versus rivers are different.
Indeed, as has been shown in many places where fish particularly lose their place if they're used to swimming against current and there is no particular current. Beyond the physical, talk about the cultural issues here, because a few tribes have lands in the arms of the lake that are very important to them.
Right. The Winneman Wintu regard the original Shasta Reservoir increases essentially cultural genocide, and they continue to practice culturally important things for them now, and would regard an expansion of the reservoir as a continuation of that tragic story. I think they have to be consulted, and their voices are quite strong about this. It doesn't appear to matter to Reclamation or Westlands much, but it's very important to the Winnemucca tribe.
If you had to look at the total cost figures here, is it $1.3 billion? Is that still the rough price tag we're talking about?
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we'll have a more precise estimate when Reclamation completes its pre-construction and design efforts. And almost never do project cost estimates go down.
Right. They do tend to go up, don't they?
Correct.
All right. So if you had to place a bet, I mean, do you think this is going to end up going through, or at least getting a few steps further down the line before something stops? You're saying it's impossible legally, but, you know, things have happened before that were supposed to be contrary to law.
Sure. And there's opportunities perhaps with a rogue Congress and a willing president to try to have the federal government essentially compel the state to let itself, its own political subdivisions, violate state law. That would be an unprecedented action in in Western water law, and generally is something that's fought by Western senators. Essentially the intrusion of the federal government in deeply into the affairs of state government. But That said, you know, it's a pretty bold Congress and a pretty bold president.
All right. Just back up, if you would, Ron, before we go, and talk about the impulse here, because as we talk about California getting hotter and drier, mired in deep droughts over the years, this impulse appears to be, well, then we need new storage. And I wonder what you make just of the basic impetus there.
Well, it's a pretty simplistic notion. Folks observe that in the 19th and 20th centuries, if you built dams, you got more water, and water was a good thing, and therefore building dams is a good thing. That works only so far because there's essentially a law of diminishing returns. If you were to continue to dam an existing watershed over and over again, which is what we've done in California, we don't get very much new water coming. With every new dam, we get less and less water. Really, the most effective way for California to get new water is to invade Oregon and commandeer Oregon's water resources. But I'm told that that would be politically unpopular in Oregon, and I think illegal as well.
I think you are correct there. Okay, legality gets the major point here today. Ron Stork, senior policy advocate at Friends of the River, speaking out against the idea of raising Shasta Dam. Thanks for joining us today, Ron.
Sure.